hello everyone. Welcome to the Salon Podcast. Where do good ideas come from?
Thank you for asking that question, Miriam. Where do good ideas come from indeed? My name is Hawa.
And my name is Miriam.
And we want to tell you a little bit about how the salon actually started. And for me, the idea was, well, to a lot of people, they will say it was a very crazy idea back then because it's like, are you a freedom fighter? I'm like, no, it's not a freedom fighter kind of thing because I was in school, right? Mm-hmm. I was in school. We had taken history lessons and courses and, you know, I would read. And you know, when you're in school now, you have all the time in the world to just continue. Like, you just read, you just watch documentaries. And I was always an avid reader and I just love to know about things, right? And, you know, we talked about the different times of, like, politics and just different eras, right, in history. And I came across the era of enlightenment and I was very, very curious about it and I read a lot about it. And then I came across, like, people having, like, conversations, like, in the salons and all these taverns and pubs. Yeah, exactly. And for me, it's came back home because I don't know, Miriam, if you remember, because by the way, Miriam is my sister. I don't know if you remember how growing up, we had a lot of our uncles and our aunties at home. We had, like, you know, my mom, my aunties, my uncles, they'll have these conversations about politics, about, like, social issues and everything. So it kind of, like, in fact, it didn't occur to me that it was, like, something I was trying to live up to again. Yeah. Unconsciously, right? But I just knew that I was intrigued by the whole concept of how the salon or salon started, because it's a French word, right? Yes. So I really wanted to keep it very original because I could have called it another word, right? But then I just wanted it to speak to the originality of what the salon, the essence of what the salon was back then, right? So I was like, okay, yeah, the salon. I remember scribbling at the back of my notebook, the salon. And, like, what, 2-3 years later, had a conversation with my brother and Ahmed.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, we've been having these conversations and we Nigerians, we have a lot to say, yeah, right? We always have a lot to say and that's good. But how do we actually put it in action? How do we bring people of, you know, the same sort of mindsets and ideas? How do we bring everybody home and together right? Yeah. To have this continuous conversation and actually do something about them. So essentially, the salon was meant to be like a platform for creatives and intellectuals.
Yeah, that, I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Just hearing where like your ideas come from, it seems like it's something that has been a part of you since you were like a child and it kind of developed over time and leaked into your, well, adult life. And, but yeah, I do remember the first time I heard about the salon. At the time you officially started it, I was in uni.
Yeah.
I was far, far away. I had no idea really what it was. But I remember coming back and you telling me about it. I think it was 2020, 2021.
Yeah.
And I found it very intriguing. And it was a time where I was kind of lost in my life. But I found the idea very interesting. I've always found that diverse people with similar mindsets tend to, like, not realize that they have the same goals.
Yeah.
So I found the idea of the salon very, very interesting. It was new to me, but at the same time, it wasn't so new.
Because, you know, the thing is, with the salon, when it started, I didn't like to attribute myself with the salon. So I would just say the salon is of itself. Like, it's what it is, right? Like, I don't embody the salon. But then, you know, I started to get it all wrong, because I'm like, I do embody the salon, and everybody that comes to the salon embodies it too. And that's what the salon, that is what makes it very unique, right? And everybody that has come to this space, they can attest to that, because even if they don't learn something directly from me, best believe they'll learn something from someone, right? And that is why it's just a very fluid space, and it's a free space for expression with no judgments. And like, all the members mostly have an open mind and try to respect each other's opinions. And that's one thing that we really put up there. Like, respect is very, very, very important. And we have some major tools of expressions at the salon.
Yeah,
ma'am, do you want to say one of them?
Well, put me on the spot.
Just one, just one of it.
So I'm just going to say one of my favorite ones, which is gratitude. Yes. So.
Okay, that's a good one. We'll go into the other tools much later, but yeah, that's respect is really, like, the salon is really big on respect.
I agree. That's one of the things I really liked. I find that anybody could make a space to have conversations, but it's so easy for conversations to become out of control. And at the end of the day, it just becomes just talking. But something special about the salon is that we create these rules not to limit, but rather to appreciate and just to create more understanding, because the salon is a place where we are trying to actually recognize each other and gain something from each other. So mm-hmm. I think the rules were like one of the most intelligent parts of the salon.
I'm going to jump on the whole appreciation part that you just said. We do appreciate each other a lot at the salon. And one of the ways of appreciation is by, when we have these conversations, we go through some of these tools like gratitude.
Yes.
So gratitude is a big thing. And I think that we all underestimate the power of gratitude and how it actually, it kind of revolves around every single thing that we do. But most of the time, we don't stop to appreciate each other, even yourself, even what is going on around you. But I'm not going to, like, you know, go on tangents on that. But the other tools are resonance. And then, you know, when you resonate with somebody's point of view or perspective, right? Just like I just resonated with what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
It gives that person assurance and makes that person feel like, okay, yes, I'm not alone,
yeah,
right? In this, exactly. And then questions. So rather than, you know, putting someone down completely, you ask questions. And one of my favorite philosophers, Socrates, you know, Socrates used to ask a lot of questions. In fact, it got him in so much trouble that they, you know, they sentenced him to death, right? But, you know, that's just by the way. But yeah, asking questions is a very, very powerful tool, because for we Black men, they say, you know, you want to hide something, hide it from a Black, hide it in a book, right? And with asking questions, you're gaining knowledge, right? Automatically, it's knowledge. And the salon is a platform where if you're seeking knowledge, you will get it. I am one to admit to myself that I don't know everything. And once you admit to yourself that you don't know everything and you're not an island, and you want to, you're willing to learn from others, I tell you, you would go far. You know, I've learned so much in this past couple of years, yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
In just attending salon sessions. And a lot of people would attest to that. What do you think, Mariam?
I actually agree a lot. Personally, I would say it's one of the only spaces I've ever been in where I'm not afraid to be wrong or afraid to just open-mindedly, like, learn. So I think, well, we're talking a lot about the salon, but in summary, the salon is a great place to be. It's every member of the salon would understand just how much it has become a part of, like, our daily lives. everything you do, it comes back somehow to the salon, because when you attend a session, we ask the question, how was your week? And it's almost like a release. Like, you go through life and you come to the salon and you let it go and you learn and you hold something and you leave and you apply it into your next week. So that's the beauty of the salon for me.
And then thank you so much. That was a beautiful wrap in terms of, like, I'm serious, like, how, you know, what the salon is, the summary. I love that. So having said that, all of this, right, I guess the journey so far, we've touched a little bit on it, because the journey so far, watch the space, guys. Watch this space. You do not even want to know what is coming. I'm telling you. But what do we expect from the salon? Well, like, you know, I would ask you first, right? So in the next, say, I don't even want to say 5 years. I feel 5 years is too long for what the salon has. what do you, in 2 years' time, what are we expecting for the salon?
I would say the salon has made me very Delulu, but I believe being Delulu is the way to, what's the word? What's the saying?
Yeah.
It's the way.
It's the way to go.
It's the way to go.
To be.
It's the way to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Mm. I see the salon being just an amazing place. I don't even want to call it a space anymore. It's like a universe of its own. I want to see more people discover the salon and, like, appreciate what it has to give and apply it into their lives, because I feel like the salon is for society. That's what the salon is for. And if we really become a part of society, it would kind of solve a lot of our problems. From my point of view, I feel like we have so many social issues that we don't even know we have most of the time. But when it comes to this kind of space, we discover that these are things we can actually work on. And as Nigerians, Nigeria is such a diverse place.
Yes.
And we have so many cultures and so many religions, and we kind of allow it to draw us apart, and we make differences for ourselves,
and the salon appreciates that.
Yes,
celebrates.
Yes,
that.
The salon celebrates diversity, which was actually where I was going. The salon appreciates people coming from different worldviews and perspectives, and we come together, and it's just the most beautiful thing. So for me, I see the salon in the future, like bringing beauty into our diversity. That's where I see it.
Beauty in our diversity.
Yes, that's where I see the salon going.
That is beautiful. I'm going to share four cultures of the salon, right? And one is commitment, you know, to the healing consciousness, respecting another person's truth.
Yeah.
Then we have two, consistency, you know. I would say that we have been very consistent with the salon, and that's why we're here now. Symbiosis, the stronger the value symbiosis is, the clearer the vision. So I feel like our vision is very bright. Four is respect for another's truth. You know, respect is a word that we always have to touch on with the salon. And advanced diversifying objectives. So, like, we have to always see the future in, you know, our perspective. It's very, very, very important, and basically respecting everybody's truth. I see the salon being in a very big space and really just becoming a very big tribe of itself, and that's what I see the salon as.
Thank you, Hawa and Miriam. It feels like they handed over the baton to you and I, Chidi. I'm Casey, by the way, and this is...
I'm Chidi.
And we're talking about our first times at the salon. Mine was a bit inclusive and exclusive because I just wanted to observe. It was like a new world. And at the same time, it was a mirror, just sort of captivating who you are and who you'd want to portray in front of this mirror and who you want to confront in yourself in front of the mirror. And that's what I remember from my first time. How about you, Chidi?
What I remember is it was like a sanctuary where I could really, in a perfect safe space for exploring knowledge and wisdom, especially the stuff that ultimately becomes practical. You can discuss theory all day, but what use is it ultimately?
Exactly.
And I remember I came there and I could see everyone from all walks of life. It was a very diverse space. And everyone, because of those tools and the cultures of the salon, it made everyone a philosopher. It created a space where whatever they had to say could be properly incorporated in any conversation, no matter how complex or advanced.
I felt like that too.
Yes.
So to be honest, if I'm talking about my first time, the salon really does this thing where it reflects how you need to know that you have two ears and one mouth. And it's not about the loudest voice in the room. It's more about, say, the person who has the most to share. And that's why we have silent series and we have silent sessions. A series is more compact. It's more, let's say, it's not diluted. It's very intense where you reveal all and you hold nothing back. But a session is like a meet and greet where everyone's involved. But how about you? What do you think you prefer?
I think I prefer the series because there aren't many spaces in our country of Nigeria where we can actually touch important ideas beyond the surface level. You can go to conferences and symposiums and all these things, and apart from those people that were, say, the resource persons on stage, if anyone has to say something, it has to be brief. Even if they bring up a very important idea, they usually don't get more than 2 minutes to flesh it out. So there isn't a public forum where ideas are allowed to breathe. And that's what the series can do. The normal salon sessions are a great environment.
It's great fun.
Yes, it's really great fun, actually. And it does give ideas a chance to breathe. But in the series, you can actually exhaust what it is you need to discuss and really get into places you never thought it would go. And you often leave with real practical knowledge because it's not just about how do we synthesize all these things we discussed. It's also how can we apply? And you get the time to actually explore those.
Speaking of getting the time, the silence sometimes can feel timeless. It just feels like we'd want to go on and on and on without fuel, without food, because the fuel is the conversation we're having. And I remember, again, going back to my first time and how Hawan wanted me to share, because everyone gets a spotlight at the salon and everyone's point of view matters at the salon. So it's not just the spotlight, it's more like the chance to air your thoughts, have your views recognized in a safe space. And even though it's not a contentious topic, it's just the everyday bread and butter, we still need to have you say hello and hi. But I was more, you know, not the shy kid, but the guy in the corner who just wanted to observe this entire room. It felt like an expanse to me, this entire room of, okay, maybe we're not just all apes. Maybe there are some primates amongst us who actually have something to share, something of substance. You know, when Hawa mentioned Socrates and whatnot, I remember my first introduction to Socrates and I was telling myself, this guy is, I mean, no wonder they killed him, because, you know, society tends to fear what they don't understand. But that's not the silent. It's a good thing that we understand each other, because again, I said, two ears, one mouth.
Yeah, and speaking of Socrates, I think it's actually very topical that it came up, because of his way of questioning things. They literally named it after, they said it's the Socratic method of inquiry.
Yes.
And you remember when they sentenced him to death?
Oh my.
They said it was because he was, quote unquote, corrupting the youths.
They said.
Corrupting. But it wasn't, it was just the fact that he was discussing ideas that challenged some of the orthodoxies of power at the time.
Which our society sort of lacks today.
Exactly. And so there's no corruption when it comes to exploring ideas openly and fairly. But if someone feels threatened by the discussion of truth, then you know perhaps you're heading in the right direction. And so it's also an opportunity for people who never knew how brilliant they are to discover it. Because those tools we use, you know, gratitude,
resonance,
and questioning, and etc. Somebody that always thought that, oh, because maybe I'm not so eloquent, I'm not so smart, if you have people in the room that are able to use those tools with you in conversation, you might leave there thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so clever, right? It's just, and I really do think that every single person is a brilliant philosopher. It's just that sometimes our means of transmission are not always
refined.
Well, refined, yeah, that's the right word. They're not always refined. And people tend to judge books by their cover.
So, well, judging a book by its cover doesn't fly well at the Salon. I mean, it's an open door policy and everyone is invited and everyone gets involved when they get invited, or it feels like an invite to the Salon is exclusive, but it's not. It's like a mix and match where it is but it isn't. But then, enough talk. We'll see you at the next session of the Salon.
If you want to hear more or share more, you're welcome to join us.